That'll do it. The Boston Celtics, the defending champs, come back with some bite. And they win on the road. And they go up 3-1 in this best of seven, closing the game on a 16-7 run after the Magic had tied it with 4 minutes left.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, 5 o'clock hour, talking Celtics basketball. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and now joined, if you're watching on Twitch, the middle box.
Hi.
Megan Ottolie. Look at her, professional. She knew where her one shot was.
Oh, yeah.
She looked right at it.
This girl is on camera all the time these days.
Damn. Knows what she's doing in front of a camera. This is back to your old Quickslants days, right?
I see you. Yeah.
All right. Settle down. You're making it creepy. Celtics, Mago. So we talked to you last week, and a lot of people, including Dan Ball, our very own producer, called this a warm-up series for the Boston Celtics. A couple games later, doesn't really feel like a warm-up series. I've used the Rocky, where they say he doesn't think it's an exhibition. He thinks it's a damn fight. A little bit of a dogfight, but you're up 3-1. How do you feel about this series now as maybe what you expected to feel in this series?
I feel GTFO. Finish this up on Tuesday. Get out of there.
So get out of there. The beating?
I'm just worried about the physical toll that it's taking on this team. And I'm not trying to say like, oh, the fouls are out of control. It's the physical nature that you should have expected, that we all should have expected from this Orlando team. They're a really tough defensive team. They're big. They're long. They don't match up with you basketball-wise offensively. So they are going to muck it up. They even told you so. They told the Orlando Sentinel that last week. And they're making good on that promise. So at this rate, you know, you've got Jaylen Brown, who already came in with the banged up knee. He's got a dislocated finger. You got Jason Tatum, who the wrist looks great. Mm-hmm. So that's a positive. But he did have to miss his first playoff game of his entire 8-year career. And now you got Drew Holiday, who was just ruled out again for game 5. And that was a surprise to me with this hamstring going on. So I think if you can just close it out on Tuesday night, they got the late game. Tip off is at 8:30. Get out of there. Hopefully this Knicks-Pistons game goes at least another game. Mm-hmm. And then you get a little rest for these guys. Get these bumps and bruises iced up and get into the next round.
So, Mego, I was telling everybody about your column at WEI.com about Jason Tatum has been forced to play angry. And I believe Andy feels the same way as well. Kind of like this, and maybe not just kind of like it. I love it. And this feels like, as we've
you want some more of it?
Yeah, I like it.
She fits right in with the lame ass jokes of WEEI Afternoons.
Perfect. Just Taylor.
Raised here.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. She was born this way. So I love it. I think this is, as we had discussed for a long time, like Jason Tatum needing to take his game to the next level to be, you know, MVP this year and lead the Celtics, hopefully, to Banner 19. I feel like this is that level, that next something he needed to unlock and achieve to help them get there.
So these back-to-back games that he's had since the wrist injury, he drops 36 in game 3, and it doesn't go the Celtics' way the very end. And he drops 37 last night. And last night, he goes 14 of 14 from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. He hits 14 boards. He looked so in control last night. That's the thing that jumped out to me. He looked angry, but he also looked like he was totally in the driver's seat on offense. So he's moving in and leaning up against Banchero and then popping off, fading away, creating space on his shots. He's getting downhill. He's picking his spots, really. But the thing that also jumped out to me was I can't remember Tatum chirping as much and getting this chippy with another team or another individual as he has with KCP. Yep. And KCP, Caldwell Pope, is a guy who he knows because they both have trained with Tatum's personal basketball skills coach, Drew Hanlon. So it's funny to me because sometimes we look at this era of basketball stars, and we even look at Jason Tatum in particular and go, they're all friends with everybody. At the end of the game, they're all swapping jerseys. They're all shaking hands. Like, come on. This is like, they're shoving each other. KCP is shoving Tatum back. Tatum's just hitting him with the big movie star smile, like, ha, you don't even bother me. They're trading technical fouls. This is a side of Tatum that we just haven't seen that much of. And I think fans should love it. I love it. I like seeing it.
I absolutely love it. Even Jamal Mosley was standing too close to him when he was laying on the floor. He kind of brushed his leg away and then was in his face. Usually, those of us that tend to be somewhat critical of Tatum, generally we see the emotion on a basketball court targeting one person. They wear black and white and gray, and they're the officials. Like, he's usually, that's the person he's engaging, bitching about. That's how he gets technicals. This is the Tatum I want to see. This is a little 80s, 90s type Tatum. And this series, I think, has brought it out of him. I don't think this was his doing or even Mazzulla's doing. I know some people think Mazzulla's trying to push buttons with the whole get up and all of that. I think the Magic have pushed the Celtics buttons to some degree. They've sort of, in a weird way, played the series on their terms to a 3-1 deficit, if that makes any sense, because they can't really keep up scoring in that skill-wise.
I think that Orlando has made it as much of a series as they can.
Yeah.
They're just such a mismatch. It really is 2-on-7, maybe kind of 2-on-6, because Drew has missed so many games in this series, and certain guys from the bench have struggled with this matchup. Peyton Pritchard, I'm thinking in particular, he just looks a little physically overwhelmed.
What's up with your guy?
Which is tough because in game one, he explodes with 9 points in his first 3 minutes and looks so awesome. And then I think some of the pressure on the perimeter and some of the forced turnovers are just... It's just a tough matchup there. I don't think it'll be indicative of the rest of, hopefully, the playoff run if they advance, should they advance. But I think that this is a tough spot for the bench.
Well, when they advance.
Polite and deferential and professional.
Like tomorrow night, it starts around 8:40, so by 11 p.m. when they advance.
11 p.m.?
Isn't that what it is?
I mean, I hope.
Oh, isn't it like 7 to 9:30?
I thought
it's an 8:30 tip off.
I hate it. I'm so
old. It'll probably
on
be
a
like
Tuesday?
It'll probably be like 8:43. And then, I don't know. I'm expecting to get home at like 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's going
to
be late. But no, I said earlier that this is a blueprint that some people are like, oh, are you worried you can get physical with the Celtics? Like, well, no, not really, because I don't think there's a lot of teams that play like the Magic are built like the Knicks aren't. The Knicks are going to come out. And with Towns and Brunson, they're going to try to score and play their game. It doesn't really worry me. If anything, I feel better about the Celtics championship chances after this series. Fitzy, using your caveat, as long as they're not any long-term physical issues.
Injuries, ding-ups, and whatnot. And that's what Mega was talking about, the physical toll that this series is taking. Speaking of which, the head coach who has famously told us, you know, I like it when my kids get sick, you know, makes them stronger. He likes seeing Porzingis out there bleeding. I mean, he's just such an absolute sad. He does. Later on, we'll get into who's got crazier eyes, Jordan or Mazzulla.
Oh, Jordan. Definitely Jordan.
But Mazzulla, on the idea that the Magic have been super, he probably loves that they've been super physical with his team because it's toughening them up. But what was the quote? Joe Mazzulla on if the Orlando Magic have crossed the line with their physicality, quote, no one's been arrested. That's as on brand for Mazzulla as it gets, Mego. How do you think he's been handling the series?
I think he likes it. I don't think he likes having guys on the injury report. But even if you see some of the dust ups that Tatum got into last night in the background, you can see Joe just like he wants to get in there. He wants to be part of it. It's the nature of the series, and every series kind of develops its own characteristics. And this one is certainly more physical, more of a dogfight, as you said, Andy, than a lot of us probably anticipated. Because I thought it was going to be a sweep.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be four games. They get out of there. I thought we were going to have one of these games that was like, you know, a 25-point game or something, because the Magic would not be able to hit the broadside of a barn. But this is where we sit. And you've had guys in and out of the lineup very much like you had in the regular season. I think the most important thing at this point is to make sure that your starters continue clicking as they did last night. Maybe it's just not a series for your bench, and you can reset and figure out what it's going to be if it's against Detroit or New York.
The one thing I really liked last night, although they didn't pull away till the end, because I said to Fitzy earlier, it's 91-91 in the fourth quarter. If that goes differently, we're having a very different conversation today.
Oh, if it was the 22 Celtics, they lose that game.
Right. But they didn't. We have to, you know, sort of observe and comment on what happened. And I liked early that Porzingis was going to the rim. Porzingis was getting those dunks, the pick and roll, the lobs. He was aggressive. And I don't know that I ever really thought the Celtics would win a lot of playoff games hitting 9 three-pointers, like single-digit three-pointers. That's just not how they're built.
Right.
They're going to shoot 55 three-pointers, and they better hit 20-something of them, or they're going to probably lose. Right? That's how we always feel about it. They went out there, and they won a different-style basketball game without hitting three-pointers. I think that's sort of a good, like, put it in your back pocket. Let's not always do it. That's not how we play, but at least it's in our back pocket kind of style.
Yeah, and even late in the game, I thought they could have gotten back to the pick-and-roll a little bit more, where Porzingis, it's great that he started hitting his threes. He had three straight games where he was just completely cold from the arc.
0 for 11 or something?
Yeah, so it was great to see him hitting those. But even if you're trying to get guys like Luke Kornet and Peyton Pritchard kind of activated, the pick and roll game is where you can find spots with those guys. I just think that the Magic defense is so long and so active that the Celtics, if they can start hitting those threes later, as they did with Derek White, of course, coming in at the start of the fourth and hitting a three right away, like, that's going to be their go-to. It's just a math equation at that point.
Yeah, and as far as this blueprint going forward, you know, have teams watched this? Like we said, the Knicks probably can't play as physically as the Orlando Magic. But one thing I've noticed in the series, whenever Wagner tries to take Porzingis to the hole, like, he just blows by him. He's younger, faster, not quite as big as well. Do you think teams will try to attack Porzingis, or is there anything else aside from play the Celtics physically other teams may have learned from this opening series?
I think, unfortunately, like, some of it might be health-based if they're looking at the different injuries that the team has racked up through this series. On top of that, the Celtics over the last 2 years have developed real ball security. And I think that the traps that the Magic have been setting in mid-court, you know, it starts to look like the first time that kids learn full court press.
Right.
And you see on the other side and you're like, oh my God, they can't advance the ball. There have certainly been times over the last two games in particular when you see guys like Derek White, Jaylen Brown get tripped up by that trap in the midcourt game. And I wonder if that's something with as stellar as the backcourt that the Celtics have, if that's another lesson that teams will look at and go, okay, they still got a little bit of that turnover in them if we poke the bear the right way. And by poke the bear, I guess, what's the opposite of that? Because poking the bear means you awaken the bear. Maybe if you tranquilize the bear.
Yeah, put him into, what do they call it, slumber. I don't know. Give him honey. Yeah.
I don't know. Make them turn the ball over.
Yeah. I was also glad that you led with Derek White and then Jaylen Brown. Usually people like to just jump on my guy Jaylen Brown and say he's the one with the turnovers. Are you a woman of the people? You want to take a call or two here?
Absolutely.
617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Charlie in Boston. What are your thoughts on the way the Celtics are playing against the Magic, Charlie?
I love it. It's good to see a different side of the seas. It's like the villain sees getting the finger in Carter's face after he dumped T. White. Like, it's just so good to see them playing angry. So I love it.
Absolutely, Charlie. I love it. We talked about Tatum. Horford has definitely been fired up. Porzingis had, I thought, the best old school hard foul last night, sort of that tomahawk down across two arms. I think it was Carter, maybe, at the rim.
We're ranking best fouls now.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that. So,
is that five fouls these playoffs?
Playoff basketball has become a thing. I've been watching these other series. I watch Anthony Edwards shoving LeBron as he comes down the court.
This has been a thing all year.
Love it.
The NBA is quite aware that there's this sense of they're looking like a league where it's more like the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And it's just three-pointers falling and nobody gets to play defense anymore. They know that's a bad look. So this has been consistent across all the first-round series.
I love it. I love that it's swinging the other direction. You got Wendell Carter, and even Scal was mocking it on the broadcast. He kind of lowered his shoulder into Derek White, but nothing crazy. It wasn't like targeting in college football. And they did the long review, and Scal's like, that's not a flagrant foul. That's playoff basketball. And we had a texter earlier that was like, oh, it's not entertaining. It's the NBA. And I was like, if you're not entertained by this series, the competitive fire, whatever you want to call it, then you don't really like basketball.
Right, which is fine.
Yeah.
But don't blame it on the NBA.
No, this has been as competitive and sort of aggressive a first-round series between a defending champion and a team that's couple years and a couple players away from really being a good basketball team, as you'll find.
I think most of the first round series, aside from the Memphis series, have been that. Which, if you watched the end of the Laker game last night and Anthony Edwards just going insane, like, so fun good. Over there. You got the Pistons and the Knicks, which I would encourage everybody to watch because it will
Pistons
very much
porked.
Be a preview.
Isn't it great when the ref comes out and says, yeah, you should have had 3 free throws and a chance to win the game very easily at the line, but
would have loved to have heard that earlier, pal.
But honestly, we're so used to the first round of the NBA playoffs being like, ugh, just right. get past these bad teams and get into the real matchups. There's some really good matchups. And for example, with a team like Orlando, yeah, they're not a good great offensive team, especially compared to the Celtics, but they have a lot of talent. They dealt with so many injuries this year mm-hmm. that they dropped to the seeding in the play-in tournament that they were. Doesn't mean that they can't give you a competitive game night after night.
And they have a star in Bencaro.
They've
been giving the Celtics trouble for years now.
Oh, yeah, like their style, they're aggressive. Weirdly. Yeah, Joe Mazzulla, the losing record, or I don't know if it's still a losing record with a couple more wins he's piling up
Belichick
here.
Belichick against Tua, just can't do it.
That's weird. And Belichick with Jordan. But we're not going down that road again. Before we let you go.
I'm talking about this.
I want to know what Mego thinks about. No, hold on real quick. I would like to know.
Oh, boy.
Mego, what do you think about the Belichick Jordan CBS this morning, Pete?
Big deuce. I would guess that interview went very poorly.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
I mean, from what we saw, I thought it went pretty poorly. But we're all used to the Belichick awkward silences and everything around here. I don't know that CBS Sunday morning knew that it was going to go that way. And I would sense by what they left in, I'm dying to see what's on the cutting room floor. I'm dying to see.
Maybe we'll get more.
That's a good point. I'd like
the unedited video because now you got Florio, of course, with the report that she chimed in several, Jordan chimed in several times in that. I'm very curious what that dynamic was like on set.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the biggest issue is her just being there and being so forward. Like, Berge Najarian was his right-hand man that manipulated things in the background and off to the side for years. Every interview, Berge, you know, if you look closely, he's, like, behind that tree or he's behind the... She's right
like
there.
Jim Gray in a Tom Brady interview, Andy.
Right, but this is, like, Bill looking over and her glaring. We're not talking about that. This was... this didn't go well. This was remarkable. Speaking of not going well, I say things aren't going to go well for the Knicks. I think the Celtics end this series tomorrow night, and then I think they sweep the Knicks. I don't think the Knicks are capable of putting up the fight that the Magic have.
The bigger question to me is how long this Knicks-Pistons series goes. Do you think that they also close it out in 5?
I do not.
Okay.
Because
I think it goes 6.
Yeah, I think the Pistons got porked, and it feels like the NBA will maybe make things a little better for them and at least extend the series a little bit.
Oh, you don't think the Pistons
them.
Are just going to come out with their hair on fire because they know they got screwed?
Well, no, I do, but I also think they will have 3 other team members on the court that are helping them score the basket, get to the free throw line, do whatever
but
they need to do.
But it's back at Madison Square Garden, so I could see the Knicks finishing, the Pistons off.
No chance. In fact, during the break, I am going to go on my app and I'm going to place some money on the Pistons because you cannot screw them like that, tell them they got screwed, and then screw them again the next time. You need to screw the other team, and then whatever happens after that is
fine. I love the matchup. If it's New York Boston, I think everybody wants that matchup, and Boston used them as a doormat all year, so I think it would be a beautiful matchup for you.
Mego, one last one. I know this is a basketball centric segment, but football has largely been on the brain today as well. Your Commanders draft in 20 seconds, and also congrats on the new stadium.
Thank you. Honestly, I feel like the new stadium is a little bit of the bigger deal to me as a lifelong Commanders fan.
It looks gorgeous.
Bringing them back to the RFK campus in D.C., I don't know how to explain this to you guys. It's not the same level. You can't make it the same comparison, but it's the closest thing I can do for New England people. It would be like if you took the Red Sox out of Fenway and moved them basically down to Gillette and put them down there.
That would suck.
And then that stadium sat empty and was ultimately demolished. And then a new ownership group came in after decades of just nauseating failures and said, we're going to build a new beautiful park on those grounds and invite everybody back to where the home is. That to me is actually the much bigger deal, because I already love the team. Like, I like the additions that they made, but I already love the team, so good for them. I think that getting them back in D.C. is just such a win for the fans.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it also helps to align with Jaden Daniels, and they went to the NFC title game. And, I mean, you're not crazy to think by that time, by the new stadium time, he'll be entrenched as a superstar franchise quarterback.
2030 is what they're aiming
for. Yeah, they're competing on an annual basis. Like, he could be the best quarterback in football by that time if he's on the same trajectory where he is.
He might be next season, Andy.
Well, yeah, but he also needs to stay healthy, because they've had young athletic quarterbacks before that didn't stay healthy, and then it really spiraled out of control, and now that guy's doing broadcasts. That's RG3.
Okay, all right, well, see, isn't it amazing? He's got a funny little way of just being able to take the littlest positive thing and...
I was trying to be positive, and then you turned me negative.
Did it yourself.
Appreciate you joining us. Glad you're excited about that new stadium. Glad you're excited about the round two matchup with the Knicks. We're just looking right past the Magic and the Pistons moving on, and we'll talk to you next Monday, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You said that with a question mark. Let's say it with a
period. I thought you were going to say we'll hear from you on Wednesday, because I'll be on the Greg Hill Show Wednesday morning.
Yeah, but that's not our show.
Okay, we're all of the same family.
2 to 6, baby, is where
it's at. If you want to know when I'm going to be on next, that's when I'm going
to
be on next.
Listen to Mego on Wednesday morning, Greg Hill Show, and back here with us in studio next Monday talking about the Celtics rolling on in the postseason. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we are going to talk about, I actually have no talk about. Oh,
Shador.
Can we talk Shador?
Yeah. Shador,
I knew
baby.
Stiz has been asking for this all afternoon. Shador, the prank call, everything that went into that, his dad, is he going to start for the Browns? Poor Dylan Gabriel. There's a lot of layers to this
onion. What a quarterback room.
Yeah, it's a quarterback room and a half.
They need to be on Hard Knocks so badly.
We'll get to it next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, for the final time today, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Patriots have completed the 2025 NFL Draft. 11 players taken in total, the first four of which were all on offense. In total, the Pats took 5 players on offense, 4 on defense, and 2 more on special teams. New England moves into phase 2 of their voluntary offseason program today, and new this afternoon. The team has released 6 players. That's offensive lineman Jake Andrews, defensive lineman Marcus Harris, wide receiver Jaquay Jackson, linebacker Titus Leo, safety Mark Perry, and tight end and fullback Giovanni Ricci. The Celtics beat the Orlando Magic 107-98 last night and are now up 3-1 in the series. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 37 points. Game 5 is tomorrow night in Boston. 2 NBA games tonight. Meanwhile, it's the Cavaliers at the Heat. Cleveland's up 3-0. And the Rockets are at the Warriors. Golden State is up 2-1. The Red Sox completed the series victory over the Cleveland Guardians yesterday afternoon with a 13-3 win in the rubber match. Brian Bale won his second start in a row, going 6 innings, giving up 3 runs. And 6 Red Sox hitters had multi-hit games as part of the win. Boston is off today. They start a series against the Toronto Blue Jays on the road tomorrow night. 2 Stanley Cup playoff games tonight. The Lightning are at the Panthers. Florida's up 2-1. And in late game, the Avalanche are at the Stars. That series is tied at 2. And finally, Mike Sullivan, who led the Penguins to back-to-back Stanley Cups in 2016 and 17, is out as the team's head coach. Sullivan is a Marshfield, Massachusetts native, and sources say he is, quote, keen on coaching again next season. Visit the 99 restaurants the day after the Red Sox win and get a free kids meal with every adult entree purchase. The 99 restaurant, the official family restaurant of the Boston Red Sox. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Hey, is this Shadur? Hey, this is Mickey Loomis here, the GM of the New Orleans Saints. This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints. Good, how are you, man?
Good,
yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man. Hey, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man. Sorry about that.
What does that mean?
What? What are you saying?
I don't know.
Are you going to ask us what it means? And you was on the phone.
You heard that? He said you're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Fire that kid into the sun.
WEEI Afternoons, that was the prank call during draft weekend from Jax Ulrich to Shadur Sanders on his private line that was given out just to NFL peeps. Yes, Diz?
Can I just point out, 2 hours ago, Nick was like, we need to bring pranks back. And now he's like, fire that kid into the sun.
No, pranks. Pranks as in you know, like little funny ones that don't like screw with your livelihood, that don't make an absolute like Mike Vrabel was not made a mockery when Joe Andrewsy, and yes, this is the story Joe told in the 3 o'clock hour when he joined us, when they put a cooked pig's head in his locker and made it sound like it was alive in there, like, oh, open the door, help, I'm trapped.
What about
that's
the pig?
Like that.
I don't know.
That's a fun. That's a funny
think,
prank.
I don't calling think Shador somebody, was like made a mockery. Sorry, Nick. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I think he was. I think he was embarrassed. I think the entire weekend was embarrassing for him.
Yeah, but that was either way.
He earned and deserved a certain portion of that. And I think by and large, this was NFL owners saying, like, we don't want the entourage. We don't want the noise. We don't want the smoke. We don't want the nonsense. And also, we don't think you're as good as you think you are. That said, he did not deserve to be treated like that. That was pathetic. And this kid stealing GM's numbers off his dad's iPad because his dad is a defensive coordinator, former crappy head coach, interim level of the New York Jets, and that he has access to him. So the kid stole him and did this. Like, oh, now he just puts out a letter like, oh, I'm so sorry. Thanks for taking my call, Shador. I've learned my lesson. No, you haven't. You child of privilege. You absolute imbecile.
Yeah, he's immature, so for obnoxious. Sure. To me, this is akin to like someone pulling the fire alarm at a opponent's hotel at 3 in the morning.
The thing, I think Fitzy should be offended, but he should be offended as a comedian. I didn't think the execution of the prank call was all that good. He just says,
it was terrible.
We're going to take you next pick, but you're going to have to wait a little longer. Okay, got to go bye. Like, it was
just like
a lame...
Yeah, but that's like when you call someone when you're 12, Andy, back in the days when people had landlines and there wasn't caller ID, and you'd be like, is your refrigerator running? Yeah, why? Well, you should go get it.
Actually,
it's running.
My prank call of choice was you give somebody's phone number to a place for a fax, and then it tries to fax them, and every time they pick the phone up, it just hears those weird, like beeping noises, and then it keeps trying to hang up because it can't go through, so it keeps calling them time after time and does the same thing.
This is really not annoying. The first time we've seen young sports fans prank an athlete like this, and they usually go, it's pretty much the same. It's all par for the course.
Now, the bigger issue for Shador is he was available in the first round, the second round, the third round, the fourth
this
round.
This was crazy.
Yeah, a lot of time
weekend.
For a prank call.
And
he was available? I didn't hear many people talking about it.
No, Mel Kiper should have talked about it more. It was weird. He didn't bring it up at all. And
God.
Get
how awkward did the Reese Davis and Mel Kiper and Lewis Riddick dialogue get? My God, the ESPN must have been like, can somebody get a commercial ready? I think we need to go to commercial.
Kind of reminded me of the Six Rings postgame show when you didn't want to talk about Belichick getting screwed by the fans because they didn't show up for his finale at Gillette, and I was like yelling at you, and we were going back and forth, and it was awkward.
The NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. Clueless. No idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterback. That's proof. There's proof of that.
How many times
we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterback? They don't.
First of all,
the same guy, by the way, who told you people like Jimmy Clausen were absolute surefire home run hits. Can't like. I like Mel Kiper. The man is the godfather, the grandfather, the OG of player analysis, mock drafts, and so much of what we celebrate now on an annual basis in a telecast that outdraws the Oscars. And by the way, I still think you went on too long about that Belichick snow game farewell.
That was good.
But that's fine. That's
that was
fine.
Good. I enjoyed that.
No one wanted to hear it more than 5 minutes. You just went on and on.
Mel Kiper had a little Belichickian moment here. I think he may have lost his way. Clearly, it's personal. Clearly, there's some sort of relationship there. Because Mel, I don't believe I've ever heard anyone I don't believe I've ever heard anyone in the NFL say, we know exactly what we're doing with the quarterback position. I feel like everybody talks about it's an inexact science. It's hard to do. There's misses. Like, Mel, who are you arguing with? No, like, the straw
himself.
Man is there with you. It was a very, very strange. And I saw somebody, like, it was like 9 minutes total that he ranted and raved on national TV during a draft, which is actually having players selected. Actually, players are going off the board. People are enjoying their greatest moment in life. And he's just bitching because Dion's boy didn't go early enough, in his opinion.
Well, let's all. I also want to bring up, I saw some people around town hitting on this point, too. So much time was spent. Like, you make the joke about it, you know, every now and again, like, oh, do you know what time it is? It's sure Sanders hasn't been drafted, third round, fourth round, et cetera. But so much time was sucked up over the weekend on this. Just think about how many other draft picks deserved, like, a profile, their moment in the sun to be discussed. And they couldn't because the absolute content vacuum of nonsense that was Shador Sanders just hoovered all of it up. And then all other people that deserve their moment in the sun didn't get it. Now, of all the people that have fallen, like Will Levis to the second round, Brady Quinn all the way to the end of the first round, have you ever seen somebody who was mocked potentially going third overall go to 144th? It is.
No, but we've never seen
weird.
Anything like Shador, Dion,
the locker,
Colorado.
And the $100,000 legendary necklace.
I mean, this is a unique situation. We've never seen a quarterback who followed his dad to his school and he said, I'm bringing my Gucci with me. I got two. Now I need to figure out who the other starters on this team. Like, this is just a modern jackal on jackal crime with his dad and his son and everything about it. Like, I did think it was funny, though, because all the talk leading up was the Browns could take Shador at number two. If they do, if they don't, they could have taken Travis Hunter at number two and then Shador anywhere along the line and kept the band together and had Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders as their star power Colorado Buffs take. I bet you Travis Hunter is glad he's separated from Shador Sanders.
Got out of that nonsense. Yeah. Well, they're going to be interlinked forever, though, because they're both now Colorado Buffalo Ring of Honor Hall of Fame retired.
Until they tear that down and people... you know, the memes where it says Dion's kid number two at Colorado instead of his actual name.
He could have gone back to school and made so much more than he's going to make his rookie year or his first 4 years.
Well, he's also just not that good. Like, that's the part. See, I thought I made a proclamation when I said Jackson Dart's going to go ahead of Shador. It doesn't look like as great a prediction now. I swear when I said that, it was a pretty good prediction. It was like a lukewarm take at the very least.
It was a take.
Now that he goes after Shug and Gabriel and whoever the hell else all the other quarterbacks are, it doesn't seem like it was a good take. It was a good take at the time. He's not that good. If you really take away the glitz, the glamour, the Dion, the Travis Hunter, like... he's not that good. Now, that being said, my prediction is he starts for the Browns at some point this year because you know who else is not that good? Everybody else on their quarterback depth chart. Pickett. Who's the other guy? Gabriel. Like, he's going to start.
Can you name all five?
Pickett, Gabriel, Sanders. Why am I drawing a blank? Flacco.
Yeah, and you're missing the most obvious one.
Deshaun Watson.
There you go.
Still technically there and being paid. And never.
What a room.
Flacco, Watson, Gabriel, Sanders.
Can you imagine that room? You have like...
it's going to be outrageous.
The whitest of white old dude, I used to be good, hold my hat guy. You have Deshaun Watson, who... a lot of baggage there. You got Shador, who's like, well, at least I'm just kind of annoying and have an entourage. I didn't do anything that got me sued or sexual assault charges.
Yet.
That we know of, I was going to say. And then, you know, Dylan Gabriel, I don't even know what his shtick is. I feel bad for him. He's a third round pick. He's the higher pick. He should be more notable. I feel like when Browns training camp opens, all the cameras are going to be on Shador. Everybody's going to be talking to Shador. And off to the side, Dylan Gabriel's going to be talking to like one reporter for Browns.com.
Who out of the five do you feel the worst for right now? Which is a wild sentence to come away from the draft with.
Dylan Gabriel.
Okay. Definitely. Even more than Kenny Pickett, I feel like he's had
his shot.
Oh, Pickett, that's right. One or two of them are getting cut for sure. Someone's getting traded, someone's getting cut, bare minimum. And again, I just want to say this for the record. I'll say it everywhere I can until I either learn that it's going to happen or it doesn't. Please, NFL Films, please, I pray upon the buried footballs behind Gillette Stadium. Make the Cleveland Browns do Hard Knocks this summer. Please, that room alone, that'll be the most entertaining thing ever.
Yeah, that'll be some TV.
Time now for our league leaders and who's circling the drains, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. The Browns are the league leaders in quarterbacks in their quarterback room with five. And despite that, they don't actually have an NFL-quality starter, so they'll be circling the drains when the season arrives because you can't win without a good quarterback in the NFL. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for Odds and Ends. And we have another trip to the White House, which means another chance for our president, Stiz's president, to tell you how he knew better than another professional sports team GM. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
When sports news breaks, don't ask these guys to fix it.
Nothing's a big deal.
Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, and not to go all old school AM radio or anything, but I did happen to catch the temperature map on the news on the TV behind me. 77 degrees in Norwood right now. Woo!
Tomorrow, 78.
Let's go.
Boston.
I did notice my car was like blowing out AC today. I was like, oh, it's nice when it turns itself over. You leave it on the same temp, but instead of throwing heat out there, it's throwing some AC out for you.
You want to give the traffic report, too, while you're at it?
Hopefully the traffic's good, because I would like to get home in a timely fashion tonight and don't want to sit in my car too long. But Nick Fitzy, Steven, 77 degrees in Norwood right now. Like, we are turning a corner, baby.
Blazing, man. We've got, I think, 4 days of confirmed sun this week, one or two cloudiest days, and a day of rain. So if you have to turn the sprinklers on one day to make sure the grass grows green and the flowers come in bright and tight, beautiful. This is great. I stepped outside once or twice on a commercial break just to feel this. It's gorgeous. It is legitimately.
To feel what? What are you, Casas? Did you have your shoes on? What are you doing?
I was sunning my perineum outside, Andy, getting it au naturel.
He was grounding.
I don't think you're supposed to do that in public. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines because we got Rick in, not Rick Springfield, it's Rick in Springfield wants to talk about Shador. What's up, Rick?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Super. What's up?
Can y'all can hear me, right?
Yes, we can hear you.
It's on the radio.
Okay, listen, I listened to the show often. I called in before, I didn't get through. But, man, I don't know which one of you guys is dogging out Shador like that, man. Somebody said he isn't even that good.
Me.
Come on, man.
He's not.
I don't know which one of you guys said that, but 37 touchdowns and only 10 picks.
His name is Andy.
Over 4,000 yards in Division I football?
Yes.
No.
Those are called stats. Do you think he's good? Do you think he does a good job staying in the pocket? Do you think he did not benefit from having the best athlete and player in college football making plays for him? He was just chucking it up or chucking it low and let him go.
He threw the ball all over the place.
No, I know. I watched. I watched the games.
He threw the ball all over the place.
No, I know.
He threw the ball all over the place. He didn't just throw it to Travis.
No, I didn't say he did.
He threw it to four
A lot of big plays came from there, though. How many were there? 14? Little Joe Horn. He got drafted, too. He had a couple NFL wide receivers.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call, Rick. I don't need to get yelled at late in the show, so I'm angry when I drive home by myself in my truck. I don't think Shador Sanders is not good. And guess what? You know who agrees with me? The National Football League, as Chris Berman would say, because he was a fifth-round quarterback. He fell almost as far as Brady.
I know. I could see Berman just being like, are you really Shador? You don't want to draft Sanders.
Guess who just walked into the studio? Probably somebody else who wants to yell at me for saying Shador's not that good. While he gets settled, I'll tell you, coming up now is Odds and Ends, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Okay, Christian Arcand,
I gotta set a scene for you, Andy. Hold on. While you and Ted were out there cheese curdling each other in Green Bay at the Wings and at the draft and whatever else, Arcand, to get us ready for the Christian Arcand Night 1 Draft Spectacular 2025,
heard there was
wanted
beaver.
To pay tribute to his guy, Travis Hunter, so he wanted to hang a jersey in the studio. So his big idea for how to hang a jersey in the studio was to attach two belts to each other.
Jesus.
And then what he did was he got up on a ladder. And
on a hanger. And attached into a hanger.
And a hanger. Oh. And he got up on a like a little step ladder in the studio. And I was like, Arcand, don't. Not like, in front of me, at least.
Like Shawshank?
He was like, yeah, he was fashioning like a noose. Like he was going to pull a Red was here in front of me. My God.
I didn't think of that as I was putting the thing together. But in retrospect... I think
he had the jersey. He had the jersey in case the Patriots got Hunter, and the belt in case they didn't.
Right.
Oh, wow!
It almost took a light down in the process as well. Like, I can't get these things. I didn't expect. I don't know. You guys like these lights? I don't like them. 617.
So you, your boy.
Well, one of my boys?
You got two. You got one that I think is going to love life without Shador Sanders going opposite Brian Thomas in Jacksonville, where I think things could be fun and entertaining, or we just pull the plug and realize that Trevor Lawrence isn't that good because he's, you know, got weapons now. But then Shador, we were just talking about it. Did you feel bad for him? Did he and his dad sort of make this bed and then they had to lie in it? What are we getting from the Shador fan?
I felt bad about that prank call and that guy, the Falcons coach kid who did that. That was pretty mean. That was a legitimately like mean thing to do.
It also wasn't funny. It wasn't a good prank call. Right. It was just like, we're going to take you. No, you're actually going to have to wait longer. Bye. Like it was just no execution.
It's like he realized in the middle of it, like, oh, I got to get out of here. You
know, well, the best part is, so the kid talking apparently is not Jax Ulrich. He's in the background if you see the video.
But he's the kid in the blue shirt behind them. Yeah,
but you can also see the moment in the time where he realizes, oh, my God, I'm on video. This can't be a good thing.
Yeah.
But then who released the video? I mean, how stupid?
One of the frat bros.
Do you have to be?
How'd they get the number?
He stole it from his dad's iPad. He went home.
Oh, that's like no.
The iPad was like on the table, and he was like, oh, that says Shedeur Sanders. I'm going to write that down in case this might be useful.
Got it.
I don't know that he wrote it down intending to do the prank call. He just realized, that's a cool number to have. I'm going to write it down.
Mm. You know, he also allegedly called someone else.
He did. Who?
The tight end, right?
Well, I heard Tyler Warren was pranked, but I didn't hear that they were actually tied together.
Oh.
That they were blaming Jackson.
Multiple. It's like the Jerky Boys. There was like multiple prank callers.
Also, I have a son named Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
The normal traditional spelling. J-A-X just seems like the kind of dink that would do something like this.
Kind of, yeah.
Like a modern frat boy dink name.
Yeah. You got the X in the name. Yeah. It's just
that's just
like,
weird.
Yeah, I'm not Jackson. I'm just Jax with an X, yo.
Yeah. Like he's going to end up, on an MTV reality show or making like weird
Jax
videos.
Jax Ulbrich. Oh, my God. I absolutely just.
They got Cooper DeJean last year, too, didn't they? Not the same people.
Yeah, not
same
them.
Prank.
This has happened over
the
years.
He showed them, though. Cooper DeJean had a great victory lap.
It happens more often than not, probably. The difference is Shedeur had his special phone that he only gave the number to the GMs or whatever. Does Shedeur start for the Browns this year?
I think he's the best quarterback on that team. Yeah,
I think
he's. I don't know about by far, but I think he's certainly better than the other rookie they drafted. Who's
feel bad
the
for.
Same size as you? Like,
why
is.
Why we get a laugh?
He is. I'm
why
just
we
saying.
Because quarterback so in the NFL.
No offense, you played fullback at Tufts. Do you think you're ready to play NFL quarterback?
Probably not.
Better than Watson, I think, and better than Flacco, and better than Pickett, better than all those bums. I mean, there's a bunch of bums in Cleveland, so I think that. At the end of the day, like he could end up looking pretty good in all of this. You and I can disagree on how good he was, right? I think a lot of people that like there's a lot of debates, but he was projected by most people to be a first round pick.
Yeah.
High first round, mid, late for it was first round basically everywhere. We can disagree on how good he is. I don't think anybody can disagree on him dropping to the fifth. Like that becomes more than just a football thing.
And that plays into that anonymous narrative of worst meeting I've ever seen in my years.
Even if it was the worst meeting
rumblings.
Ever. Like you, what you just said, did Dion and Shedeur make their bet? I think it was more about showing them than it was about, all right, you know, is this guy going to, do we want him on our team? Do we think he can help us? Even if we do, I don't know. Let's send them a message.
Yeah. I can. I'm not sure.
To the fifth round?
Yeah, I'm not sure to what degree you're going to discuss this whole Sanders debacle tonight.
We'll get into it.
I just saw
whole
I figured.
We got some other things to talk about.
There's a few other things. I was just reading. One of the aggregators had it that a bunch of NFL owners, apparently now they're anonymous to this degree, but some had just told their guys, their coaches and their GMs, like, I don't even want him on our board. We do not want him because of the headaches.
He got red flagged. Red flags
Bingo.
Catch up with a lot of people.
Okay, well, you know, the Ravens drafted a guy in the second round who had some red flags, too. So I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, was Shedeur Sanders in like legal trouble or anything? Yeah, right. Well, they didn't know it at the time. At least they didn't know that.
Jeez.
Baltimore, they knew, right?
I'm just saying, a lot of guys with a lot of really bad red flags get drafted.
The Cleveland Browns gave Deshaun Watson $230 million guaranteed after the massage thing came out.
It's a great point.
After that all happened, they're worried about Shedeur.
22 allegations, Andrew. 22.
But he used to be better than Shedeur when he was actually good.
That's true, but that's sort of the point, is that like you may not think Shedeur is going to be as good as Deshaun Watson at his prime, but you have to assume that he was good. The pedigree that he had coming out of college was better than fifth round. I mean, I think it just became a much bigger deal.
So what do you got tonight, 6 to 10?
We'll have a lot of that, a lot of Belichick, because that whole thing. I got a viral tweet this weekend.
You
like
did
10
it,
million
man.
Views.
10 just million?
For, just about. Just for like a 30-second clip interview that I posted.
You didn't even,
it's
you
the
didn't
best
do
tweet
anything.
I've ever had.
It was just a clip.
Really,
it was brilliant.
I didn't do much.
You're an aggregator now.
I am.
Wow.
Call me Dove Kleeman.
Are you making
Dove
money?
Arcand.
You get paid?
I don't know.
10 million? Don't you get money?
How do you do that? How do
you
collect
have to
the
have
Elon
Twitter?
Bucks?
You have to have X Plus or X Supreme.
Well, forget it then.
You could have made like money.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not.
You lazy?
It's probably not. It's like $20. Come on. I doubt it's even that much. We're going to try and cover, run the gamut here. Turpin's going to join the show at 7:30. We'll talk Celtics Magic, a lot of the Belichick stuff. I do have some thoughts on the Patriots draft and a little bit of Shador. We'll have nightly news. Big deal in the Karen Reed trial today, so we'll talk about that and all the other stuff. Red Sox, Durant. It's a very busy day. I liked your guys' open today, where it had everything that happened over the weekend. I thought that was a great open.
A lot went on this weekend. Yes, Brian Frazoco, great job. Stick around for the Christian Arcan show, 6 to 10. Busy weekend, busy Monday night for him. Stick around, listen. Tomorrow, 2 to 6, WEEI Afternoons. Ted Johnson joins us at 3. I'm sure he has plenty of thoughts on the NFL draft, his Colorado Buffaloes. He was pretty worked up over Shador, so we'll see if he's settled down. Nice job, Stiz, Dan Ball, Fitzy, Brian, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow, WEEI Afternoons.